Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 102.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 40. But first, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who is able to reckon up in order unto thee thy wonderful works and thy thoughts that are to us ward, for thou dost shower upon us even from our very creation, and even despite our fall, our deep fall and rebellion against thee, blessing after blessing, and then especially in the land in which we may dwell, and in this time wherein that we are privileged so far above the greatest part of this world, with prosperity, with food, with drink, with clothing, with shelter, with peace in our land, so that we are receiving out of thy hand that which is withheld from the greatest part of this world. And thou knowest all our hearts, what a pit that we have fallen into ourselves, and our deep fall, and all that lives within our hearts to this very moment. We are here before thy countenance. It is thy holy day, and we are called to worship thee, but we have of ourselves nothing in our heart that goes out after thee. We are those that are cleaving unto this world. Our earth, the earth is our treasure. Oh, that it must become different in our life. And it is that for which each and every one of us are accountable. But it is also that which thou alone art able to accomplish in our hearts. O Lord, when we are here in this afternoon hour, then we are before thy countenance, and we come then unto thee. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may also come in our midst, that thou may grant thy the power of thy most Holy Spirit, that thou may give new hearts unto each and every one of us. We cannot miss this upon our journey to meet thee, a miracle from above. It is thee alone who is able to raise us from the dead and to make our hearts soft. Do we not read that thou didst say in thy word that that seed that does fall upon stony ground, O Lord, it is ground that cannot receive that word unless that thou wilt plow it up. O that thou may come then, and that thou may with thy Holy Spirit prick our hard and stony hearts. Oh, do make them soft, do give, that there may be indeed a place for that blessed seed of thy word to fall this hour, that it may not return void unto thee, but that it may bring forth fruit some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Oh, glorify thy own great and worthy name, and the name of thy only begotten Son, oh, that he may be made precious in the life of each and every one of us, and that it may be said also in the heart of young and old, that he is white and ruddy, that he is the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, do give us instruction in the knowledge of ourselves, for therein only are we able to receive the knowledge of thee. For thou sayest, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. O Lord, make us then a people that are able to receive thee, and that thou may grant that true and that living faith to be born in the hearts of both young and old, that it may also be renewed in the life of thy own children. For we have heard it in these moments, I waited patiently for the Lord. O Lord, thou knowest where that they are, that to wait, maybe not so patiently, make haste, O Lord, to the rescue, I pray. O that thou may give that earnestness in the hearts also of thy children, that they may receive that blessed deliverance which they cannot miss, and that way that is often so long. The questions are often so many, and it is thee alone who dost lead thy church through that wilderness. But thou givest them also manna from above. Oh, it is not yet the complete deliverance, 40 years here below in the way of a desert. But Lord, thou wast not a land of outer darkness unto thy people. Thou didst give water from the rock, and they may drink thereof, and that they may rejoice therein. Oh, do give it even in this hour unto thy own people. Open, O Lord, open that blessed mystery of free and sovereign grace unto those who are destitute and who do not know the way anymore. O, then thy name shall be magnified and glorified in the heart. Then the mouth shall go open when the stones would speak if they were silent. O Lord, grant us young and old true conversion. Who is able to give for the first or by renewal for that faith that is a gift of thee? O Lord, we beseech it of thee for thy great name's sake, and for the welfare, for the health of thy people, for the increase of thy church here below, and that we and our children may be beneficiaries thereof. O Lord, remember those that are far away, and those also that are near unto us, even in this land. O, give thy word a place amongst all the nations of the world. Also, the beloved for the Father's sake, wilt thou take off the veil of the eyes of that people, and wilt thou bring them to see and to acknowledge thee, to kiss the Son. O Lord, that thou thyself may remember all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this world in truth. O, that thou may increase their number, and wilt thou give that freedom and that liberty, that unction of thy Holy Spirit, to attend the word, that the hearts may be touched, that they may be broken, that they may be melted, and that they may be made a willing people in the day of thy power. Do remember all those that mourn. Thou knowest all where they are. A child has been born in our midst. There is gladness, there is health, there is strength. Humble the parents. There are also those elsewhere. Our own daughter-in-law, her family. O Lord, remember when in this week they must stand at that open grave, and a child who has never been allowed to see the light of the day must be laid in the bosom of the earth. O, from one darkness unto another, but thou knowest the soul and all that are thine. Wilt thou strengthen, wilt thou comfort, and wilt thou supply to them and all those who have needs which they cannot fulfill from their own side. O Lord, thou art a helper of the fatherless. O, do give then the needy to cry unto thee. We have heard it out of thy word, but I am poor and needy. And so it is in the life of thy people. O Lord, wilt thou give that there may be a blessed agreement with thy holy will? O, then there is only one way, therefore, and that is that we are weaned from all this world, that our treasure may be above, that it may be in heaven, that we may be a people that are seeking another city, another country. Then we can agree with all the cross providences that are in our life here below. For there is one purpose, there is one aim, and that is for the glory of thy name, for the bringing in of thy church. Oh, give us then to hasten for our life's sake, to lay aside every weight, every sin that doth so easily beset us, and to run that race that is set before us. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour? Oh, that thou may take away all that does hinder in the speaking and in the listening. Do strengthen us for this labor that lies before us in this hour. Oh, make it an easy, make it a loving task. Give us an earnestness for the souls of men. But wilt thou especially come to go forward before us, then we have only to follow thee. Oh, Lord, then the hearts will be melted. They will be broken. And then thy dear Son, he shall be revealed. And then thy name that shall receive all the honor and all the glory. Wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake? Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 64, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows? This is the second wedding announcement of John Sinkey and Michaela Rosendahl, who hope to be married in a service this Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by tomorrow. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, Psalter 64, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, David has written in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That was the conviction of David. David was one of the most blessed men that could be found upon all the earth in all time. Do you think so too? By nature, then we say, blessed is the man that is rich. Blessed is the man that is healthy. Blessed is the man that is prosperous. But David said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. How is it that David comes to such a conviction in his life? That can only be that sin had become to him a great burden. Is it also a burden unto us? Because there is not a man, a child in the whole world that does not feel something of what sin is, whose conscience is not convicted. But there are not many in this world for whom sin that has become a burden, who have wept tears of sorrow because of compunction of sorrow for sin that does live within their heart. But without this sorrow, without this burden, it is impossible to be delivered from that burden. You will say, perhaps, how may I know this if I am also delivered from such a burden? Children, that should not be so difficult, should it? If we feel the burden, if your father would place upon your shoulder a weight, then you will have to carry that weight. Then you will feel it. Something is known. Something is felt. And then do you not think that if your father would take that burden off of your shoulders, that you would feel something else, that you would feel something of the relief from that burden? Thus it is when the Lord, he is giving something of that liberty of conscience in the life of his children through that blessed blood of his only begotten Son, that there is a weight that is taken from their shoulders. No, that is not a weight that is cast off by them, that is impossible. But what does the Lord say? He says, I will be unto them as he that taketh the yoke, who lifteth the yoke off the jaws. Then something is known, something is felt of this relief. And this we wish to consider with the Lord's help out of the words of our text in this afternoon. 2 Kings 5, the 14th verse. 2 Kings 5, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So far, the words of our text. leprous Naaman washes in the despised Jordan. First, his descension. Then went he down. Second, his dipping, and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And third, his cleansing, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Leprous Naaman washes in the despised Jordan, his dissension, his dipping, his cleansing. So we read, then went he down. That is what we heard last time. He receives a new direction. It is a direction that he had never expected. It is a direction that he had never dreamed of, not in his whole life. Cut off were all his letters of recommendation. Cut off were all the riches that he has carried with him from that land of Syria. Powerful work. We have heard that. That is not what a man just lets go of. No, it is what the Lord himself takes away from a man. The poverty-making work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that he may do another work, that he may make that people rich. So he has deprived him, we heard. He has deprived him of his wisdom. He did not know that way. He has deprived him of his strength, the power that he has brought with him from that land of Syria. And then he has come before that prophet. And then we said that there was more, because then the Lord had also to overcome a resistance. It is the resistance that is living in that depraved will of the heart of a man by nature. A resistance because he wants to retain his integrity. A resistance because he wants to uphold himself. Why is there so much enmity in the heart of a man against the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is there so much enmity in the heart of a man against the way of free and sovereign grace? Why? Because John the Baptist, he says, I must decrease. And we do not want to decrease. No, we will not decrease. And thus it is only the Lord who is able to bring us low. When Saul the Pharisee, he was laid upon the ground by the Lord himself. Later he says, as Paul, he says that the Lord, he revealed his Son in me. Thus he speaks about that personal, that experimental work of the Lord. You say, did not the Lord reveal his Son to the whole world? No. Because that word in which he has revealed himself comes not to the whole world. You say, does not the Lord reveal his Son to the entire visible church? Indeed, in an outward way, he does. That was what Paul's work was all about. And yet Paul says, he revealed his Son in me. Is that not a great difference? Is that not an essential difference? Is that not actually the soul-saving difference in the life of a man, that he would not be revealed only in the word which we speak of to our children, that he would be revealed also in a personal way in my own heart. That revelation that is saving to the soul. You say, but Naaman's leprosy, that was not yet cleansed. No. But Naaman, he has, his heart was in that moment won over. His heart was in that moment won over to a new and a living way. And what does the Apostle Paul say? That we are saved by hope. And hope in that blessed mediator that is then born in the life of a person when the Lord is revealing him in them. Then it is in that moment that faith begins to go out to that mediator as never before. No, they have heard him their whole life, and yet they have never heard of him before. But now he is revealed, and now the soul that begins to long, it begins to go out after that mediator. That is not the devil's work, because the devil does not make the soul to long after the Lord Jesus Christ. That is alone the work of the Spirit of the Lord. And that is a work that the Spirit of the Lord never will forsake, because it is the work of his own hands. And therefore, such an important point in our life. Such an important point. When we may say that mediator, he has been made precious to my soul. That is that point wherein the true work of the Lord may be known, because before this point, the work that indeed may be true, but there was a pliable that came out of the city of destruction with Christian, and this is now that point that he has never come to in his life, because he was never brought unto that wicked gate. Oh, what an important point in the life of a man. God's people, they used to say to such persons, welcome, welcome in the strife. You say, welcome in the strife. Is not the strife now over? Is it not now over? Even at that point, as we have heard last time, that faith that was given to assent, that faith that was given to agree, and that chariot that is turning, that may obey that voice of the Lord, is that strife now not over? That a person, he now can accept, he can now receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In a certain way, yes. In a certain way, because the enmity that has been broken, and when that soul that has seen in its life the smallest part of the blessed mediator, when he has only shown himself through the lattice of the word, when they may see only the smallest part, and when they may rejoice for a moment in him by a true and by a living faith, then that is a faith that indeed, though a trial come over it in their life, it is a faith that will never die. But Naaman is not yet healed. There is still a way from the place that Naaman is standing to the place that Naaman is actually healed. Bunyan has shown that. He says that there is a way From that wicked gate, there is a way. From that place where Christ was revealed unto that pilgrim, unto the place of the cross. Thus, that people are not receiving everything in one day, but it is step by step that the Lord is leading His children, that He may bring them unto Himself, and that He may make them to grow in that faith that He has given unto them. Most of God's church that seems to be in our days between those two places, between that wicked gate and the cross, most of God's children, they do not seem to be able to speak of that complete deliverance. This is the strife. Oh, ask that people, when they say, there are things in my life that I am not able to deny indeed, and yet that certainty is what I miss. That certainty that is what I desire, that I may know for sure, am I His or am I not? Do I love the Lord or no? That is the strife. Oh, to seek that full assurance that they may live in and out of that blessed mediatorial work of the Son of God and out of the work of the Triune God? Does it mean that their people are not saved? Oh, it doesn't mean that. But here, you understand, we are talking about the experience, how that it is going in the life of God's children, that is, from the side of that people. Of course, from the side of the Lord, that is, from the very beginning, that work that is already finished, even as the mediatorial work of Christ Himself, before it was literally accomplished, can be said to have been finished even from the foundation of the world. And so we follow Naaman. We follow him from the gate this day unto the cross. We follow him from the breaking of that enmity unto his full cleansing. Where does that full cleansing now take place? It takes place in that despised Jordan. Or it takes place in that mud of the river of Israel. That is the picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now that blood that has been pointed unto. That is now that blood which is now drawing that Naaman, that he may seek after it. Then went he down. Literally, he must go down. He must go down the banks of that river. But there is more. Why? What must he do, children? When he comes down, then he also must come down from his chariot. Well, that chariot, that was a very special chariot, was it not? Because that chariot was Naaman's chariot, and Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Then you can be sure that that was not the same as every one of the other chariots, even of the army of the Syrians. No, Naaman, he has a position. And when Naaman will be cleansed, Naaman must come down from his chariot, because we are not saved with a position. We are not saved as a minister. We are not saved as an elder. We are not saved as a deacon, as a king, as a ruler. No. But all this position that has been given by the Lord is so important in this life, but it does not attend a man when he is standing before the judgment seat of God. He must come down from his chariot. What must he now do, children? What is the next thing he must do? Well, you say he must remove his robes. He must remove his royal robes. Those robes, they are also special robes. Those robes, they speak about his status. He's not an ordinary man. No, he is a man who stands next to the king. But we are not saved with status in this world. We are not saved with being above the common people in this world. Thus, when he removes his robes, then he becomes, as it were, just a common person. He comes to stand there even with the servants. Then you can see no difference anymore between Naaman and the servants which are serving him. What does Paul say? There is no respect of persons with God. And when a man will receive the benefit of the Lord, then everything that he has in this world, not only the power, not only the riches, but also the status, the place, the office, everything that he has received in this world, when he is perhaps in a place above other persons, that all must come down. But there is more. Why? Well, because when those robes are removed, then what becomes evident? No, children. What now can everybody see? You say everybody will see the spots. That is right. Thus, his leprosy is now becoming evident. And thus, that is a man now who does not even stand equal to his servants anymore. But now, when you look at his servants, and you will look at Naaman, then you say, that man, I would rather stand over there by his servants. That man, he is loathsome. He is filled with a loathsome disease. It is a contagious disease. What is that view that the Lord gives to his church when he is humbling his people? It is not only to be brought to the same status as every common man in this world, but it is to be brought lower. To be brought lower than every single person in this world. Even every single one that does walk over the face of the earth. Paul, he said, Paul was a Pharisee. And what did Paul have to become in order to receive the grace of God? He had to say of himself that I am the chief of the sinners. The chief. That is not young people to come on the same level anymore. No, but that is to come under. Did the Lord ever make you to become the worst in the whole world? Did the Lord ever show to you that you were a more filthy, a more wretched person than the lowest that is sitting in the prison, that has committed murder and all kinds of crimes in this world? Did the Lord ever show to you that you are worse than they because you knew better, because you were brought up under the truth, because you had His word, because the Lord has given to you blessings that they never received? The Lord, He is humbling a man. The Lord is making a man truly into the chief of the sinners. But there is more. You say, how can there be more? But there is more. Why? Because when Naaman, he must complete this removal of his clothing, then he is not only standing there in his leprosy, but he is standing there in his nakedness. He is standing there in his shame. What is that shame? It is the shame of his sin. It is the shame of original sin. Because before original sin, there was no shame. And thus the Lord is bringing a man back even to paradise. And what has taken place there, to own the sin of Adam, that it is not only my own actual sin, but that it is even the sin of my covenant head, Adam, belonging to a broken covenant of works. And so that the Lord, He is solidifying, as it were, the condemnation of that people. When the Lord, He is going to justify His people, the Lord first will uncover them, fully uncover them. That is what a judge does. What does a judge do? He cross-examines. He asks question after question, and he goes deeper and deeper and deeper until he is coming unto that final cause. What is the work of that Holy Spirit? That is to dig. Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt find more abominations. And he is cross-examining and cross-examining that people until they are standing in their shame, until they are standing only as truly a hell-deserving creature and nothing more. That is now where a man must be brought, when he is standing before his judge. Then you understand he has nothing. Nothing to say anymore before his judge. And why does the Lord do it? That he may bring that people to rest so fully and so wholly on his own Son. That is our second thought. He dips in that despised Jordan. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. What a precious word. What does it speak about? It speaks about the obedience of faith. It says, according to the saying of the man of God. Thus, faith becoming obedient unto that word. 7, that is the number of the covenant of Jehovah. And he is instructed to dip himself 7 times. That is, he is instructed when everything has been stripped away from him And when there is nothing but a hopelessness and a helplessness in himself, then he is instructed to rely. To rely on that covenant of Jehovah. That new covenant. To rely upon grace. Grace. Free, sovereign grace. Dipped himself 7 times. What is it? It is a confession. It is a confession of this man. When we may read that he, according to the saying of the man of God, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. What does he do? He confesses concerning this God, the God of Israel, and he casts himself, as it were, upon this God, upon the word of this God, what he has said. Dip 7 times in the Jordan, and thou shalt be clean. Then he goes down at the bidding of the word of the Lord, depending upon the faithfulness, depending upon the truth of that God. It is his only expectation. Outside of this, everything is lost. He is a condemned man. See him go down. See him come up again. Leprous. White as snow. Can be sure the devil was busy. Because the devil is always busy. He is never quiet in the life of that people. He rages. He assaults him. He says, "You fool. Before all these servants. And you are going now to trust in that God of Israel. It's never going to happen. You're going to be shown to be the fool. All the men of Syria, those mighty men, you are the captain. They're all going to hear about it. You're going to be laughed to scorn. You're going to be mocked." Naaman continues. He goes down 2nd time. And he comes up leprous. And he goes down 3rd time. And he comes up leprous. And he goes down 4th time. Hoping. Hoping against hope. And he comes up. And he is leprous. And he goes down 5th time. And he says, "But hath not God promised? That God of Israel, hath he not said it? Shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? Shall he not make it good?" He comes up leprous. He goes down 6th time. Time of trial. I wait for God, the Lord, and on his word, do I hope. And he comes up 6th time leprous. 1 more time. 1 more time. He goes forward. He continues. The Lord, he strengthens him. He goes in that way of true saving faith. The waters are to the ankles. The waters are to the knees. The waters are to the loins. They are waters to swim in. I wait for God, the Lord, and on his word do I hope. do I hope? And that hope, is that now put to shame in the life of Naaman? Is that hope now put to shame in the life of his children? We're going to sing first. 115, stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord my God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest, to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep, and storms of trouble thunder, while o'er my head the waves and billows roll. 2 and 3 of Psalter 115. Third thought, his cleansing. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What a wonder took place in this moment in the life of this Naaman the Syrian. The 7th time that he has descended into that mud of Jordan. Then he went down, leprous, white as snow. And he came up how? It does not say that he came up and just he was clean. It does not say that he received his flesh as it was before that he had leprosy. No, but it says that his flesh was as the flesh of a little child. Thus, we read in a very special way of the completeness and the greatness of this cure. What is that aspect of true saving faith that is portrayed for us in this place? It is the experience of a soul when they may receive the deliverance of sin in their life. It is not the experience of regeneration. It is not the experience of a soul in his new birth. Nor is it the experience of a man in the opening of the way of the Lord. Bunyan has portrayed these in his Blessed Distinctions. That is, he has shown how that when Christian came to that gate and was received at that gate by goodwill, was himself pulled in to that way, that he has asked goodwill, "Can you help me off with this burden?" And it was answered to him, "No, you will have to bear that burden until you come to the place where it shall fall off of itself." Thus, when the Lord, he is first opening that way, that new and living way in the life of his people, then it is not that people are receiving that relief that they are desiring. That true church that is not a stranger of the distinctions that Bunyan is making in his Pilgrim's Progress. The Lord, he is here displaying what is being experienced in the life of a person in justification. That is, not in the revelation of that mediator, but in the application of that mediator to their soul. That is what our fathers have described in our Heidelberg Catechism, not in Lord's Day 7, but in Lord's Day 23. You can read about that, especially in God's Word. Elihu, from the book of Job, he speaks about this. Then he says, "The Lord, he is gracious unto him, and he saith unto him, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom." And what does he say? He says, "His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return unto the days of his youth." Forgiveness that is received by whom? Forgiveness is received out of the mouth of a judge and none else. Forgiveness that is received in a court and in no other place. Typically, then it takes a long time before a man is brought into that court. We have heard a little of it. It is taking often a long time before that a man is so condemned in himself to be made truly such a hell-deserving sinner. But it is there in the court that God himself is intervening for that people. That is, in the person of his own Son. Even we read as Moses stood in the breach. Is that a place that the sinner speaks? He has not to say. He cannot say anything before his judge, because there is no more justification in himself left. There is only one way for that man. That is a way that he has to agree is righteous. It is a way that he has to agree is just. And therefore there can come no other deliverance for that people in that moment else from the Lord himself. Thus, that is a speaking between the two persons of the Father and the Son. That the Son, he is presenting unto his Father what he has done for his church. And it is his Father himself as judge that must speak here in the life of a man. When Naaman experiences here this in his flesh, when he is ascending that seventh time out of this Jordan, and then he is experienced in a way of a picture what is experienced in the life of that justified church when they may come out of that court of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. What is that? There is not one spot that is able now to be seen on Naaman. Everything is gone. Do you think he looked, children? Do you think he looked? Do you think he examined his whole body to see if there was anything? I'm sure he did, you say, right? Certainly he did. And when he looked and he looked and he looked, then he could find nothing. And when he looked and he looked and he looked, he could only find beautiful pink flesh. Oh, there is a liberty of conscience that the soul is given to experience in the forgiveness of his sins in the court of his own conscience. That is one of the most blessed of the steps of grace. That is a people who are searching and searching and searching. And you know what they cannot find, children? They cannot find their sin. Nothing is to be seen of that sin in that moment anymore. There is not one spot. The Apostle Paul, he says, no more conscience of sins. That is just as if that people were perfectly innocent, that they had never committed a single sin. So how is that possible? Oh, that is possible because the Spirit, he is working this in their heart. Read Bunyan's description. What is happening at the cross? There at that cross, we read that burden that is loosed from his shoulders, and it is falling, and it is going down into the sepulchre of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the grave. That is where all the sin of that church is left. Read Thomas Scott's notes. He says of this, that this deliverance that is in some respects final. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. What does Hezekiah say? He says, thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. in justification, then the soul is receiving views, blessed views, of the satisfaction of the Father as judge. Blessed views of the payment of the surety for the sin of his church, not only, but as it has been declared in a personal way for himself. And when those views are opened to him by the Spirit of the Lord, then indeed there is not one blemish that can be found in him, because that blood that is received in the way of application in the court, they are delivered there from the pit of corruption, because it is the judge that is speaking. Thus, what is the experience? When he went down, he was full of leprosy. When he went down, death pursued him. When he went down, there was a curse. But when he came up, his flesh was fresher than a child's. What does that mean, children? He was cured. That means there was no more death. That is right. That is the experience. Then that death that is taken away, because the sin is taken away, because the sin is paid. And so those views of that mediator, the views of the covenant, the speaking of the Father is giving that people to see, and that power of that blood that is so far greater than the power of sin, so that sin that is swallowed up in it, and his flesh came again as the flesh of a little child. Here is the end. Here is the purpose of the Father in sending his only begotten Son. That is to deliver his church from sin. Why? That he may receive them into communion once again with himself. Is that then a half work? That is no half work, but that is a full work. The blood of Jesus Christ, the apostle says, cleanseth us from all sin. That is now the privilege of that true church of God. Do you desire it? By nature, we do not desire it. We come to church in a faithful way. That is all good. But there is no desire. Why not? Because sin is no burden. Has sin ever been made a burden unto us? Because if sin has never been made a burden, if we have never wept a tear of sorrow over sin, then we can be sure that in such a way we can never be delivered from our sin. The Lord Jesus lamented over his own people. Why? Because he himself was among them. And he said to them, there were many lepers in the days of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cured except for Naaman the Syrian. He came all the way from Syria. Because the lepers in that time, no, they were not coming unto Elisha. No, they were not coming unto the Lord. Thus the Lord is solemnly warning his people in that outward covenant, solemnly warning them to say that I am among you, that I am preached among you, and that you are so close unto that cleansing. But we will not. But are there not also those whose heart goes out here unto the Lord? Oh, you hear, and he was clean. Oh, you say, that is what I desire. That is what I want to know. Oh, that I also am clean, that burden may also be taken away from me. That others have received it. You say, that does not help me. That is right. What did David say? He says, O Lord, say unto my soul, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. How was that same blessing given unto Jacob at Peniel? The same blessing. How? He said, I will not let thee go, except that thou bless me. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bring us in such a way to thy footstool? With nothing in my hands I bring. O Lord, grant us so to come unto thee. There we may be cleansed. There we may dip in that Jordan. May it be by a true and saving faith that we may experience what that is, that thou may be glorified. O save thou our souls. Forgive thou all our many sins. Bless thy word. Receive our thanks for all thy help. And be with us further in this day and in this week. Bring us safely to our places. And be with all those who travel to and fro in these days. Watch over and protect each and every one. And we are also away from our congregation in this week. Give us traveling mercies and bring us safely home again. And do supply for each one, watch over. And wilt thou give that thy word may receive a true place in our life. The children also in these weeks, oh, give them a place in their inner chamber a little while. For Jesus' sake, amen. 362, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.